Good morning, everyone. Happy to see you this morning. Happy New Year to you all. First service of the new year. I'm Jeff, and just excited about the morning. Is everyone happy this morning? You know, the bright lights, I can just see when you're smiling or you're ignoring me, or you know, so just know that, all right? I'm watching. No, okay. Question. Have you ever been inspired when someone told you about something good they did? Ever, you know, someone was telling you something they went out and did that was really good. Have you ever been listening to them and thought, wow, that's got me thinking about what I could do? Have you ever had that happen? I was at breakfast the other day. Well, this is actually a while back with a buddy. And he was very excited. He was on a roll. There's no question. He was so looking forward, I could tell, to meet me for breakfast, to tell me about some great things that were going on in his life, some good things that he was doing. He told me that, he's quite a successful individual. He said, Jeff, I'm giving back. I have a lot to be thankful for. I got a lot here, and over the last number of months, I've made some decisions, and I am going to use some of this good thing that I have kind of stored up. I'm gonna do some good with it. I went, right on. Good for you, pal. But it didn't stop there. He was like, and hey, I made some changes in my relationship with his wife's name. He says, you know, things, I've been very busy and very distracted, and Just decided to really cut back on hours and to really invest more time in our relationship, and it's going good. I'm like, that is fantastic, pal. He says, and wait, there's more. He says, I've been saying for a long time, I gotta get into the gym. I gotta, you know, he says, my health, I've just kind of been ignoring my body. He says, now I've been working out 3 times a week. I am on the train, man. And I'm just like, holy smokes. Now I know even saying this, some people say, man, the guy just brags, doesn't he? You know? But I gotta be honest with you. After listening to him tell me his story, I walked away from that breakfast going, Jeff, you can step it up here. He inspired me. I was going, okay, you're quite capable, Jeff, of doing more than you are. I mean, it revved me up, got me thinking. You ever had that happen? Someone starts talking to you? Maybe it was on Facebook posts. Someone posted something good that they're doing, and you went, oh, wow, good for them. And then you started thinking, geez, maybe I could do something like that. You hear, you know, have you ever seen some of these videos, these young little kids who see something on TV about a need in another part of the world, and they're going, you know what, I can do something. Maybe it was a news story on TV, and you see this kid that gets out there and starts rallying behind some cause. Before you know it, they've raised thousands of dollars, and you look at it, you go, oh, dynamos. Kid saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. And everyone, whoa. Maybe you heard it secondhand. Someone just telling someone else's story about something good they did. And it inspired you. A few years ago, we began realizing about the power of people sharing about the good things that they're doing. The power of inspiration that those things have. When someone tells their good story, when someone sends up and says, hey, I did something yesterday that really made a difference. We would watch the chain reaction. So we said, that's it. We got to get our community telling their stories because they're doing good things. So we said, tell us your water stories. Maybe some of you were around and you heard us saying, please tell us your story so we can tell the stories. No one. Like crickets. And so, we made this big thing. Tell us your water stories. You had big multimedia. Come on, we need to hear them. They need to be told. No one. At the end of the week, I'm going, okay, team, what do we got here? What stories are we telling this week? They're all looking at me like deer in headlights. They're like, going, what do you mean? We got no stories. Are people doing nothing? They're going, we don't know. It's just gone silent. The airwaves have gone silent. And so we got out there and started talking to different people that we knew were doing things. We're going, come on, cough it up. They're going, no, there's just something that seems wrong about that. Right? No, I mean, that can't be right. You're like me telling you my story about something good I've done. Doesn't that defeat the purpose? Like, isn't that like bragging? Didn't the Bible say something about this? Like, that's boasting, isn't it? Ever thought about that? Ever thought about something really good you did? You thought, oh man, I'd love to tell something. No, better not. That's not. They would think I'm. Yeah, that's what was happening. Boasting, whatever that is like a four-letter word in Christian communities, from my perspective. In talking with different people, they're just like, man, of all the things you don't want to be caught doing, that's one of them. Why is that? I'm not sure. But I think it's partly due to some warnings about boasting that we can find in the Bible, specifically like this one in 1 Corinthians 1. And I just want to read it. And so just read along here. God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Now, I don't know what thoughts go through your mind as you read this. When I just read it face value, it seems pretty obvious to me that there's probably a lot of things that we humans get excited about that we think are pretty special. We really aren't that special to God. That's what I'm thinking as I read this. According to this passage, stuff that we think might be inspiring to someone, seems God is very unimpressed with. It's like, really? That as good as you got? So much so that, and according to this, we should never be caught boasting about anything we do in the presence of God, which is basically saying, yeah, God is everywhere. Yeah, don't be caught boasting anywhere. Because it's really not that big of a deal. Which is kind of too bad in my line of thinking. Because I know what some people's boasting has done for me. It's done actually something good. Unless the way that we're understanding this passage isn't really what the author was really trying to say. I mean, could it be that there was more to this passage than we realize when we read it? I think so. In fact, this morning I want to show you how this passage has been misread and how boasting has gotten a bad rap. In order to do that, though, I need to explain a few things. That's really the purpose of the story, to see the story behind the story. So I want you to bear with me as I kind of lay down a little bit of context here before we get back to that passage I just read, all right? So follow me along. Back at the very beginning of Christianity and the early church, so when the church was just kind of really an infant, a man named Paul was traveling throughout the Roman Empire sharing stories of Jesus. He was trying to tell people about this man named Jesus and kind of all that he embodied, his life, his teachings, his way. He's traveling around telling people about this. He wanted them to not only believe, but to live out the way of Jesus. A way that was radically different than how the Roman world at that time was operating. Much different. I mean, the culture of that day, Roman and Greek culture, they valued knowledge extremely. They valued power, wealth. But Jesus introduced a way of life that was not so much oriented around that so much. His way was centered around others. His way called people to serve, to love, to give away, to help, not to dominate, not to exploit. In this aggressive, power-hungry, claw-your-way-to-the-top Roman culture, the way of Jesus would have seemed very foreign. Very. Especially for the people that Paul was talking to. He was talking to Greeks and Romans, not so much to the Jewish people. He kind of branched out, was talking to the people that weren't really accepted within kind of Judaism, right? His message would have been a massive shift for the kind of people he was sitting around the water cooler talking to. You got to know, there were some people looking at Paul sideways going, what are you suggesting we believe? Strangely, it didn't take long for his message to start gaining some traction. And a small group of followers eventually formed around Paul. They began wanting to hear more, understand more. Paul would meet with them on a regular basis. And before long, a little church community began to form. They began meeting on a regular basis in homes. And they would talk about the way of Jesus and what this meant for them in that world at that time. As the church began to take shape, which sometimes took months, sometimes it took a year or two, Paul would end up picking a couple people right out of the crowd here and say, you know what, you're a pretty good leader. Everyone seems to be following you pretty good. Can I put you two in charge? Yeah, just keep doing what we're doing here. Keep talking about this stuff. Helping other people understand what I've already told you. Keep doing that. You're good. I'll be back in a little while. And that's what he'd do. He'd step out and he'd say, I'm going to go and do what we just did, only in another city. So then Paul would travel to another place. And then he'd do it again. And then another church would begin forming in another city. And then he would leave them, and then he'd come over here, do this again. And these pockets would begin to swell and grow in these different areas, moving around, helping. Over time, a number of churches that were started throughout Asia and Western Europe was pretty impressive. Obviously, though, each church community in each area and region that it was formed, in each city, with the particular group of people that are sent, they were very different. Each had their personalities and strengths, but also their challenges, right? Okay. So it's at one point when Paul is over in an area called Ephesus that he gets a message from this group that he had left who were in Corinth, another city. And by message, I'm not talking an email or a Facebook, all right, just to be clear. Back then, messages often took weeks, months to get back and forth. Very important to understand. But he got a message from the people in Corinth about something going on. The distance, and just so you know, like, I don't know if we got those maps there. Do we have them? Okay, so here's Corinth. This is where he started. And then Paul heads over to Ephesus over there. That's about 180 miles by boat, about a week-long trek. A long way away. All right, in that day and age, that felt like on the other side of the world, I'm sure, time. Paul is in Ephesus. He gets this message from Corinth. There's some trouble, it seems, going on. What's kind of weird is we don't really know what the message specifically was from the people in Corinth. This is important to understand. We don't. The Bible doesn't just script out their communication to him. What it gives us is Paul's communication back to them. Very important to understand. But we can find hints of what they said and what the issues were that they were struggling with by what Paul wrote back to them and by different things that we read in other parts of the Bible. So, for instance, there was likely some bickering going on in the church back in Corinth. Scholars have told us that the main group of followers in Corinth were likely very poor, lower class, poor people. In fact, very few influential and wealthy people were part of the early church movement that rallied around the teachings of Paul and their understandings of the Christian church. Very few influential people wanted anything to do with it. Very important to understand. I'm just dropping some hints here. And because it seems that a lot of Paul's comments were kind of referencing more negative situations, likely people in the church back in Corinth were experiencing some discouragement, maybe doubting the long-term viability of the church community that they're a part of. Just worn down a bit. It's to this poor people group facing a little discouragement, all kinds of different challenges in the bustling city of Corinth between 52 and 57 AD, that Paul writes these words. The words that I just read to you a little while ago. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. What was Paul actually saying here? You know what I think? I think Paul was saying to these poor, discouraged followers in Corinth, don't you see how amazing what you're doing is? In a Roman world where the influential and the educated, only the powerful and the wealthy are respected, God chose you guys. People who have very little to start something so amazing that it's going to change the world one day. I think he's saying, you, my friends, who are powerless, who the Romans think are foolish, who are despised by the upper class of that Gentile culture, you who are considered unimportant in your society, you are among the first to get this. You are doing the very things that others are missing. God has chosen you. He is using you. People who maybe don't have money or title or power or influence to start a movement, you need to be encouraged. By the Roman world standards, they will have nothing to point and say, oh, see, that's why this thing is growing over here. They've got nothing. Because everything they would point to has nothing to do with what you guys stand for. They will have nothing to, there's nothing to brag about in terms of what is going on here. This is a beautiful movement of God that is being done backwards. That by the world surrounding you, there's no explanation for. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. I think that's what he's saying here. Here's Paul encouraging them. He's actually boasting in them. Talk about a completely different picture that you get from this. If you understand the backstory behind the story, behind the line. Here's the problem when we read passages like this out of context. We end up distorting the message, potentially hurting our or others' people's spiritual journeys. I mean, to just go on a little tangent here, to talk about 1 Corinthians for a second. This piece that I just read and unpacked was part of Paul's first letter that he wrote to the church leaders in Corinth. We call it a book in the Bible, 1 Corinthians. It's actually, we call it a Bible. It's actually not a Bible. It was a letter that Paul penned somehow to send to some people in a specific place at a very specific time in history, with very specific issues that they were facing. Did Paul, at the time, know that his letter would one day find its way into what we now know as the Bible? Honestly, I don't think he did. That's my personal take. I think he was going, wow, they got a situation over there and we got to deal with this. Shh, get this back to them. This letter, which has become a book of the Bible, has now been used as some kind of manual for people to be used at all times, at all places, in every situation. And so now they write down, oh, hey, there's no boasting allowed. Okay. And it changes the culture. Let me ask you this. Does Paul have a problem talking about good things that he's doing? I don't think so. At all. I say all that to say, Paul had no problem boasting. If you read any of his letters, he's got no problems boasting. There's times when he says, I think I may be boasting too much. He starts backing up. He says, it may seem like I am, but then you'll have some. He often boasted about the amazing things that were happening in the people's lives all around him, things that they were doing. He was always looking for ways to say, oh, look at that. Look at what she just did right there. Oh, bravo, bravo. One time he even boasted. This is interesting. Paul said in one of his letters, he says, I've been boasting about you guys in Greece to some people over in Macedonia. Yeah, I told them you were going to send some money to help out one of our needs. When they heard it, they went, oh, geez, well, I'll tell you what, we'll cough up some money too. He says it was amazing. He's boasting like crazy. He knew the power of it when done right. Even Jesus at one point said, you are the light of the world. You're like a city on top of a hill. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a covering or a basket. No. You take the light, you light it, and then you put it on a stand so that it will light up everyone in the room. In the same way, let your good deeds be seen by everyone. Why? So that they may turn around and praise God and be impacted by it, be stirred up, be fired up by it. Jesus had no problem letting your good deeds be known by other people. In fact, different times, he says, they will know that you're really tied into something by your love for one another, how you take care of each other, how you treat one another. When they're seeing it, watching it, when they know about it, it's going to say something. Now, big objection here. Oh, yeah. I know someone that did something one time. They did one thing 6 years ago, and they haven't let us forget it. They keep talking about it. Oh, look at me, you know, driving me nuts. I hate people like that. I hate people like that, too. I'm not talking about that kind of boasting. I'm not. I'm talking about the boasting that people do who are sincerely living like Christ in the world. Making a difference, helping people, sharing their stories with others. They're just wanting to make a difference. And then they share their stories knowing, this might do something for this person so that they light a fire in someone else who might then in turn go, you know what? I might not be able to do that, but I could do this. That's the kind of boasting I'm talking about this morning and the kind of people I'm talking about. It's people who understand the power of telling their story in a way that actually lights fires in others. I think you need to be willing to share about something good you've done with someone else. That's what I think. I started doing this about 2 years ago. Started donating blood. And some of you guys are sick of my stories. It's too bad. Every time I go in there to donate blood, plasma, platelets, whatever it is, pull out my phone. And the ladies that get me all hooked up, they always ask me, do you want me to take that picture? I said, no, I'm good. And those iPhones are handy because you can actually flip it over and you can actually see, okay, I'm centered about right. I take a picture and then I post it on Facebook. And if... Okay, so, and I, every time I go in, I just take another picture. And it looked brutal. Every time I take a picture, I go, oh, geez, I'm looking rough there. But I keep taking a picture, and then I keep posting them, and I keep posting them. And you want to know why I do? Not to say, oh, look at me. Do you know the number of people who have made a way to me to say, I saw your post the other day, and I donated for the first time. This week. I go, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm posting it again then. Because I don't know. For every 10, 12 people are out there, I don't know. Maybe it's every 200. I don't know. Someone says, you know, if Jarvis can do it, the loser, I could probably do it. That's my thinking. And so I do it. Not to boast my arm, but I'm thinking, I know that someone out there is going to donate this year who wasn't before if I just keep telling the story. And I know that because many of you have told me your stories and have gone and done it. I went, I can stop for that guy on the side of the road. Shoot. Vince told me, he says, there's something in his head. He says, if I see someone on the side of the road and their hood's up, I got to pull over. And at first I went, that's ridiculous. You know how many people have been hurt? And then I started thinking, well, you know, suppose if it was a woman, she didn't look too harmless. You know, it looked harmless. I suppose I'd pull over. Starts messing with my head. And then the next thing you know, every time I see the car on the side of the road, I'm going, oh, is it a girl? No, it's a guy. Oh, fool. I know. Things roll through your head. But why? It got me thinking why he told me his story. You know I'm not. This morning, I want to give you permission to tell your water stories. Why? So that you'll be catalyst for good in your world. I want to say one more thing. A little bit of a side. That's the message this morning. You're going to go out and you're going to tell your water story this week. And if I ask you to tell your story, you're going to tell it. You're going to tell us. If nothing else, tell us so we can tell the story. Okay? Does that feel less awkward? Tell us. We need to show people a way of living that's different. Paul never hesitated for a second. Okay, let me just lay that aside. I did tell you that this book, 1 Corinthians, was written to a very specific people in a very specific time, in a different specific culture to address very specific concerns. But I got to be honest with you, as I'm studying through this book, as we're reading it, and over the next few weeks, we're walking through this whole book, telling Paul's stories, I got to be honest with you. There are some eerie similarities between the Church of Corinth and this community. Friends Church. Eerie. And maybe some of you are really new here and you don't understand a lot about Friends Church, but it's really not much of a surprise that many within our community, we would consider people who don't fit kind of church. That's our tagline. We're a church for people who don't fit church. Many of us, we've done something, questioned something that's left us marked in some way, that's left us not really fitting in to maybe a more traditional Christian church, like what we affectionately call the Meadow. Many of us don't feel like we fit well there. Some have been divorced. Some, it's just the way you talk. For some, it's the people we hang with. For some, it's sexual orientation. For some, it's our theologies and the questions we have about certain things or our struggle with certain theology. Like, the list is long, and reasons why some of us just don't really fit well in maybe a more traditional environment. According to many in the Christian community, No, according to some in the Christian community, we would be seen as the misfits. Less influential in the spiritual world. Less spiritual, less religious. I wear jeans, we drink coffee in here, all kinds of different things would maybe in some people's minds make us seem not really serious. We wouldn't be taken serious. Many would likely question our ability as a community to have a serious impact in our world. But like Paul, I'm here to tell you this morning that there's something good going on here. Something amazing. In this group of misfits. Something unbelievable. We talked about this when we launched in September here at B'nai. Something we celebrate. You know, it's at this time of the year, we're looking back at the last year and how we spent our money and what we did and what we could do better as a community. Like right now, the estimates are that we'll have given the equivalent of 28%. So the average church in Canada gives the percentage of about 3% of their total operating budgets away to make a difference in their world. 3%. This past year, estimates are that we as a band of misfits will have given the equivalent of 28% away to change lives, to make a difference somewhere in the lives of people that we might never even meet. We collectively as a community have given hundreds, thousands of volunteer hours to serve, to feed, to care for, to love on, to listen to people who need something. Right now we're getting ready. We're sending a team out. There's about 8 of us getting ready to go down to Guatemala. We're taking a big chunk of money, about $30,000, and inaugurating another huge phase will be instrumental in revitalizing a whole village of people and giving not just them, but the whole surrounding community a leg up for generations. We're going to be coming back, bringing back reports. What is going on down there is absolutely mind-blowing. And the story is being told of Rio Azul all around the world. We're going down to capture this and bring it back to show you. Carmen's just putting the final touches on our Mexico house-building mission. He's almost filled up the entire trip. 40 people heading down to build more homes. We found a way to hire locals with the team that's going to go down to build homes down in Mexico. They've found a way to hire locals alongside who are going to, in turn, double the number of homes that we've ever been able to build in that window. Double the amount. We're going to be handing over the keys to double the amount of families we've ever been able to in the spring. More and more water gushing out of this band misfits. If you're offended by me calling you that, I'm sorry. Maybe you're not. Maybe just me. I'm talking to myself. Very few and big Christian institutions of our day would see the potential of a bunch of ragtags like us who don't fit. But God did. God does. And this is beautiful. Today I boast in you. Without apology, I boast. I just love the opportunity when someone asks me about the kind of people in my community. What kind of church you got? Oh, I just like, you're going to be sorry you asked that question. Because we got beautiful people, giving hearts. These people care less about what you believe and are just looking for a way to get back. Beautiful. Sometimes I feel like Paul, who just was so anxious to pen a letter and go, read this and believe it. What is going on here is special. And I'm so proud. And you need to be too. And don't stop telling your stories. All right, I'm done. Get out of here. Don't just get out of here, but get out of here and tell your stories this week, would you? And tell me so that I can boast on you. Oh, because I will. I will tell your story 100 times if I can. Because I know what good it will do. Let me pray for you. God, for every person in this room who really does believe that you've wired them up to do something good in their world. May as you do that, God, may as they take those steps and are obedient to what it is you're guiding them to do, may you light fires all around them. May people who see them doing the things they're doing be ignited and inspired to turn around and do the same. And God, this boasting thing, give us wisdom to be able to do it well. So we're not that guy, but that we're like firelighters who are taking the little things that we're doing and multiplying it through many others. May 2013 be the year of all years we've ever had, changing our world. We celebrate that we get to be a part of this movement that started in little communities like Corinth. We celebrate that. Amen. Have a great week, hey? You don't have to rush out of here. I was just lying. You don't have to get out of here, but sit around and relax and maybe shake some hands and have a great week.